The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, this is Greg Dulcich. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, this is the Waiver Wire Show. I'm Cody Carpentier, and I'm joined by the friendly Trash Man. Trash Man, it's Waiver Wire Day, and just as the Waiver Wire was getting built, the Waiver Wire cheat sheet over at rosterwatch.com was getting built this morning, we had a little breaking news, and the conversation was had right away. Jonathan Taylor looks like he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a hand surgery, per Jim Irsay at The Athletic. So re-enter the conversation, Mr. Zach Moss. What are your immediate thoughts here on Zach Moss in Indianapolis?
I mean, he's a running back two with running back one upside immediately. I mean, and the time that he was, you know, filling in for Jonathan Taylor, it really didn't skip a beat. You know, I felt like if Jonathan Taylor's putting up those numbers, you know, we wouldn't be surprised. Zach Moss, somebody who's kind of been kicking around the league for a while, you know, found new life in Indianapolis. And I think if you did hold on to him or you're able to procure him this week, he's going to pay off in dividends at least for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And I think he's a guy, you look back at just those couple of weeks where he played and was the starting running back purely in this backfield, specifically the one game against the Tennessee Titans, where he had 165 yards and 2 touchdowns. They just happened to be playing the Tennessee Titans this week, and they just happen to be 6-5 and sitting there right in playoff contention. That I think they're actually the 7th seed in the AFC right now. He did have 8 carries for 55 yards last week, 3 targets. And like you said, earlier this year, running back 5, running back 10, running back 2, running back 8. Like, the writing's on the wall of exactly how they're going to utilize Moss, and we've seen it even in Taylor when Taylor started to take over. He's been top 10, top 20 each of those couple of weeks. So I would say far and away, he seems like he's the biggest player target this week, right? I think what I put on him on my personal side was like up in the 45-50% range as far as fab left over. Like, I don't think it's close this week.
Yeah, I think the only caveat would be just, you know, I think prior to finding out that Taylor would, you know, be back potentially in 2 to 3 weeks, mm-hmm. I think it was all in on Moss. I mean, if you need to get Moss to get to the playoffs, I'm all on, you know, having a fab of that much. But I think if otherwise, you know, if Moss is kind of icing on the cake for you right now, 40 might be a lot, but, you know, use your own discretion.
Yeah, I like that. Who else here at the running back position? We have a little Devon Achain injury keep coming up and keep being a hiccup here. Jeff Wilson seems to be the back that's starting to emerge in this backfield a little bit. Jeff Wilson, Roschon Johnson had a good Monday night. I was excited to see that. He had 75 yards, a couple good pass pro reps, similar to what we saw down at the Senior Bowl, similar to what we saw through the draft process at Texas. Is there any running backs other than those two guys or – around that range that you're interested in this week, or how do you see Jeff Wilson and Roschon kind of coming through the next couple of weeks?
I mean, I feel like Roschon is their best pass protector for the Bears. I think he's going to get plenty of run, especially if Deontay Foreman misses any more time. I think, you know, between him and Khalil Herbert, they kind of cover all the bases there for Chicago, and Chicago could actually, you know, potentially make a playoff run. So, I think they'll keep him I think they'll keep using him early and often. Any other running backs? I mean, Samaje Perine got some unexpected run and the matchup this week. I think it might have been just because of the matchup primarily. A team that is potentially harder to throw it against in the Browns than it was to run against. But Samaje Perine got actually quite an unexpected running. He's pretty successful in it. Seems like he's at least leapfrogged Jaleel McLaughlin as the number two in Denver.
That one did shock me, but especially because of the burst and stuff that we've saw from Jaleel McLaughlin earlier this season, and then just to see him kind of putter out and only end up with two snaps this week, that was kind of interesting. Another guy that did make the waiver wire cheat sheet this week was Oregon Duck himself, Mr. Royce Freeman. If anybody tuned in to watch the Rams this week, he ended up with 23 snaps, 13 carries, whilst Kyren Williams was the RB1 in all of fantasy in his return in week 12. They cut Daryl Henderson, brought him back to the practice squad. They rolled out there with Royce and Kyren Williams. Is there any, again, he finishes running back 14 this last week, running back 25 in week 11 with no Kyren. Is there any angle of futuristic standalone value with Royce Freeman, or should we just be treating him as like a handcuff? Like, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm like, he's getting the carries. Like, he almost feels like a Josh Kelly per se. Like Josh Kelly, right? He has a games every once in a while where it's like, oh, running back 12, running back 20. And it's like, we've seen him now. Again, he's been on the team for 5 weeks, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, running back 31, running back 22, running back 40, running back 25, running back 14. Like, I understand it's not high-end output, but that is kind of dependable as a flex right now. And I know, again, most of those games were without Kyren, but even with Kyren in the lineup, he was getting some carries. What are your kind of thoughts on Royce?
Well, I think, you know, some of that might have been an artifact of the Rams kind of running away with this one. Also, I mean, like, but there are other guys to me who are kind of in that same vein. And you could say like Latavius Murray, Ezekiel Elliott. Those are both guys who I kind of put in that same kind of basket with Royce Freeman. But the thing is, Royce, he's not their goal line back. I mean, like, Kyren Williams is going to be on the goal line for the most part there for the Rams. So, I mean, I think in a pinch, you know, maybe he's Royce, but, you know, when bye weeks are over, I just don't really see Freeman, you know, serving much purpose on redraft benches.
I like it. Let's move to wide receiver. There's a group of guys here that I think is very, very interesting. Brandon Cooks kind of bursted out a couple weeks ago, week 10, with the big 10 target game, and he's kind of just coupled on good performances after good performance the last couple weeks. Jaden Reed up in Green Bay, looking like the best receiver in the room. Christian Watson finally had a good game. And then Rashee Rice finally kind of had his breakout, I guess you could say, this week. Is there one of these guys you prefer over the other? I'm most excited personally for Rashee Rice, but that's, I guess, just because of the quarterback, I feel like, right now.
I mean, you want to get excited about Rice just because, you know, the team that he's on, the offense that he's in, the potential for upside there. But for me, it's probably Cooks, just considering his output for the last 4 weeks or so, and being in an offense that's as equally fantasy viable as the Chiefs and the Cowboys. I feel like for me, Cooks offers the highest floor mixed with high ceiling of that group. I feel like Reed actually is probably going to be your highest floor, but I just don't see him having the kind of ceiling that Cooks and Rice do right now, especially with Christian Watson starting to maybe look like he's coming on.
I like that. We talked about a couple of other guys in here that are kind of they're kind of coming off of injury or dealing with injuries. DeMario Douglas, Noah Brown, Josh Palmer. It's kind of a big grouping of guys here. I know you talked about A.T. Perry last week. Is there anybody else kind of deeper in here per se that you have a little interest in, or you're kind of you're just stashing over the course of the next couple of weeks? Like, I know you've been high on Jameson Williams with the process of this season as far as getting him in waivers and stuff. And I think he's starting, it feels like to me, Jameson's starting to get a couple of more opportunities per game. I know he's sitting there 2, 3, 4 targets. The air yards are sitting there at about 55 right now. And he's not getting more than 3 targets. So I think there's area for him to grow in that. But then also I see Jalen Hyatt. I don't know what to make of this Jalen Hyatt thing. 10 targets this last week, and he goes over 100 yards with Tommy DeVito. Is there anybody else you're interested in this big crew of guys?
I mean, Jonathan Mingo, I'm a little bit interested in just because I think he's widely available and because, you know, that offense is going to change and hopefully maybe for the better. Maybe we see them start to take some more shots to Jonathan Mingo, who led the Panthers in targets this week. So I think there's some upside there from Mingo. I really liked him in the draft process coming into the NFL season. So him, I like. Greg Dortch is getting a lot of targets there in Arizona. I feel like in PPR formats, he's going to be somebody worth targeting. And then as far as Hyatt goes, I mean, I like what I've seen out of Tommy DeVito so far. I mean, I like him more than I've liked. I mean, I've liked Daniel Jones at really any point this season. Tommy DeVito, he's willing to take some shots, and Hyatt's the kind of guy, you know, who you want on the outside to, you know, be the to be the receiver of those big shots. So Jalin Hyatt, I think it's going to be kind of like a Gabe Davis kind of situation potentially, where, you know, have some big games, but also some clunkers too, just, you know, because of the nature of that offense.
I brought up Josh Palmer a minute ago. It does look like he'll be back in the next week or two as well. And we haven't seen enough from Quentin Johnson to really take away anything in that role. So I think Palmer, if you can get him on your roster, also be a big one. I do have a question for you though, Trash Man, and that is this Washington situation at wide receiver. It feels like whoever you play in the given week is the wrong guy between Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin. And I guess I'm speaking in a DFS stance because nobody really has all three of these guys on their fantasy football team. But Curtis Samuel, showing to get the targets, right? He had 8 in week 7, 4, 4, 1, 12 in week 12, right? Jahan Dotson's been up 8, 9, 8, back down to 2, 4, 6. Terry McLaurin all over the board. Do you trust any of these guys rest of season? Their schedule, I guess, it's not terrible. They have Miami this week. Then they have a bye, Rams, Jets, Niners, as you go through the fantasy playoffs. Curtis Samuel's decently high on the waiver wire cheat sheet. Do you have any preference, I guess, is a bigger question rest of season?
In PPR formats, I like Samuel. I like his floor. He's been pretty consistent in those regards. I think that against Miami this week, they'll probably take some shots. So I feel like you could roll with, you know, McLaurin or Dotson, and maybe it pays off you. But I feel like as far as, you know, the least risk will be Samuel. But the most reward would probably be one of the other two. I think it kind of depends on your situation.
Lifelong Longhorn, he says, "'Tis the season to be grateful. I'm in four leagues. Thanks to y'all, I'm in first in one, second in two, and third in the other. The Waiver Wire Show and Tradecast helped me get there." Thank you, Lifelong Longhorn. Adam Saylor says to play the song. And Josh says, "Do you think Aaron Jones plays this week, and do you think JT's actually back in 2 to 3 weeks?" I mean, the Taylor stuff's kind of fresh. I kind of have to give it what we got. What do you think about Aaron Jones, though?
Aaron Jones, I feel like it's yet to be seen. I hope he plays this week because A.J. Dillon, it's you feel like you have to play him if Jones isn't in there, but he doesn't seem to pay off for anybody when they put him in there. I mean, I just don't really see much upside with Dillon. I feel like Jones, I still think we need a couple of days before we can really speculate on whether Jones will go. As far as JT, I mean, 2 to 3 weeks, that seems optimistic. Just, you know, when you think about surgery, you hear the word surgery, 2 to 3 weeks seems pretty optimistic. So I hope you have Zach Moss. If that's the case, I hope you grabbed them when you could. And the thing is, too, I feel like as bye weeks start to taper down, I think you're going to, you know, have some more options. So, you know, hopefully you're not in too dire straits.
Appreciate the question, Josh. And if you guys are listening or watching along, if you're watching along on YouTube, please click that like button, click subscribe, because we appreciate you for tapping in to all of the live streams during the week. And if you are listening on podcast, please remember to leave 5 stars there on Spotify. We greatly appreciate it. So we're going to tight end here. Pat Freiermuth. Pat Freiermuth had, I believe, it was right at 60 receiving yards on the season coming into this game against Cincinnati, and he doubled that number in one game. So he had 120 in week 12 against the Cincinnati Bengals.
I feel like that's what the Steelers were averaging in passing yards per game up to that point.
I think the stat was they crested 400 total offensive yards for the first time. And I think it was 58 or 59 games or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. And again, it's the first game without Matt Canada and he's used like this. Do you think we can depend on this rest of the season? Like this is what we all expected out of Freiermuth coming into the season. Maybe not to this 9-for-120 level, but some version of this. And now it's kind of the extreme. Do you think there's a little bit left in the tank rest of the season?
I mean, even if he doesn't, you know, perform at that level the rest of the season, if you get, you know, 2/3 of that, I think you'll be more than happy at the tight end position right now, considering, you know, the company that he's in. I feel like you'll be able to stream him for the rest of the season. I feel like Pickett needs all the help he can get. I feel like they're, you know, kind of short in the field for him, get more success for him. I feel like Freiermuth would be a decent option. As decent an option as really anybody else who isn't a top, you know, 3-4 tight end right now.
Vaulted into the starting position this week was Isaiah Likely, a guy that got a ton of conversation before the season because Todd Monken's going to use two tight ends in Baltimore. We didn't quite see much out of Likely the first 10 weeks or 11 weeks out of the season as far as the two tight ends working in this offense. But Isaiah Likely did get vaulted into the starting position this week. He saw 30 routes, and he finished as the tight end 16, catching 4 of 6 footballs for 40 yards. He's number 2 this week. Can we expect – do you have any expectations of that rising? Like it seems like Odell in this offense to me has done enough to kind of – become more of a security blanket than a Likely.
Well, it seems to me like they were actually trying to find ways to get Zay Flowers the ball in more creative ways, you know, based off this last game. And Flowers is somebody who honestly, for me, as a team's number one receiver, had been kind of disappointing to me thus far this season. You know, I have him in one of my leagues and I'm just like, what's the, you know, all this hype going into the season and with this offense and, you know, I can barely use him. But you feel like you have to use him because he's a number one receiver on the team. So hopefully, you know, he gets that kind of boost. Otherwise, I think it's kind of diffused throughout those other receivers and nobody gets quite enough to push him over the edge, you know.
Is there any other tight ends in this grouping that really catch your attention? I know Tyler Higbee from the Rams had 2 touchdowns this weekend. This is only his 4th career game with 2 or more touchdowns. Hasn't had one since Christmas of last year. And then before that, it was like a year, and then it was a year before that. So 2 touchdowns for him, big game, 5 receptions, 29 yards, not really massive, but he did score 2 touchdowns. Higbee's there. I know last week you talked about Juwan Johnson. I personally was hoping to see a little bit of Tucker Kraft, and we didn't get to see much of that. Is there anybody else that kind of has piqued your interest at all at tight end?
I mean, it's still Johnson for me, you know, based off of this last week. I feel like Michael Thomas, you know, the vacuum that he's left has led to some more targets for Juwan Johnson, who, you know, was kind of useful in the red zone, you know, when he was healthy prior to this. And we know that Derek Carr likes the tight end. Likes that kind of dink and dunk kind of passing game. So I like Juwan Johnson. Other than that, you know, Chigok Wonko popped a little bit this week, but I think that was kind of maybe more of a game script thing. I still don't think he's going to be a high yield fantasy producer with that offense.
Jordan Love at the quarterback position seems like the guy that's he showed up the most last week. He had his season high 69% completion percentage. Pretty good game on Thanksgiving there. If you're streaming this week, is there anybody else you'd rather have than Jordan Love? Jordan Love pulling the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
You know, I couldn't put him on here because he's a little bit too highly owned, but Russell Wilson, I feel like, is somebody who's starting to – I mean, that offense is starting to click a little bit. That team's starting to click. You know, who would have thought, you know, after Sean Payton's start there that they're actually, you know, maybe even might make the playoffs or at least have a shot at a run. I feel like that offense is starting to click there for Russell Wilson. So even though I wasn't able to put him on the waiver wire cheat sheet, I think if you can get him, he's probably, I think, like 58% owned in most leagues. I think he's somebody to consider. Other than that, I mean, Baker Mayfield is playing decent ball right now. He's got the weapons, and I think in plus matchups, he's somebody who you can definitely consider as a streamer.
I like it. I like it. All right. You can get the waiver wire cheat sheet over at rosterwatch.com. You got to become a pro or premium member. It's only $9.99 a month. So head on over there and get that if you are doing your waivers tonight or tomorrow. But Trash Man, I'm not Alex, but I am going to run through this can you drop it section of the show. And I got about five or six names I want to read off to you because I think a couple of them are interesting. And again, I'm going to be using the trend line from Sleeper, Sleeper Fantasy, where they show you how many thousand times this player's been cut over the last 48 hours. And I think a couple of these are very, very interesting. Noah Brown, who's been interesting, Noah Brown, who's been injured, has been cut in 69.7 thousand leagues. Can you cut Noah Brown?
You can cut him, but I mean, if you can hold on to him, I think that's probably a pretty good idea. But yeah, you can cut him.
Quentin Johnston.
Oh, you can cut him. Yeah, unfortunately, that was my biggest, I guess, prognostication that did not come to fruition this season. Quentin Johnston, what a disappointment.
I was listening to, I think it was Lombardi, and he was saying that he thought the biggest deterrent for Quentin Johnston breaking out as a rookie was the fact that he was never meant to really break out as a rookie in his current state of what's being forced down his throat as far as opportunities. Like Mike Williams getting hurt, Lombardi said he thought kind of messed up Quentin Johnston's arc of or whatever the process of. Yeah, development. There you go. I was trying to think of the development word, but he thought that messed it up the most. So I don't know. We'll see if he can bounce back in the rest of season or next year, but definitely not looking good currently. Tight end Jonnu Smith did nothing this week. Can you cut him?
Yeah, you can cut him. I feel like, you know, his upside wasn't enough to hold him on teams.
Kyle Pitts, other tight end in that same room.
No, I don't want to cut Pitts.
Okay. Running back, Deonta Foreman, who did not play on Monday Night Football. Bears are going into a bye, and Herbert looks like he's back, but Roschon got most of the work.
Yeah, I think Foreman's cuttable for sure.
Number one on the list, Ty Chandler.
I'm not cutting Ty if I don't have to. I hate Alex Madison.